everybody, and particular welcome to anyone who is here for the first time. After the service, there are refreshments in the Mayo Hall, which is behind here. The reason that I'm making these announcements this morning is that Kathy is away and Leslie is on holiday. So people were laying hold of a likely person to make the announcements, and I got elected. It's a particular pleasure for us today that Christine Thompson is going to be leading our worship. There are just two things to say by way of notices, and that is that the church news is out now, so please take your pick up the copies after the service. And the other thing that I want to talk about is the Music Fest, the concert which is has been promoted to launch the piano project. You recall that in church meeting we agreed that we would attempt to raise money without drawing on church funds to buy a grand piano. And a group have been working diligently on this and have looked at a large number of pianos and have identified a piano that we really want to buy and we think will sound wonderful. It was on the market at nearly 14,000, and we have negotiated a price of 12,000, including a cover and a piano stool, and hopefully no higher charge. Having no higher charge means that we need to raise the money for the piano and be able to say yes by the 21st of September. Now, how are we doing so far, you will ask? Well, we've got 7,250 so far towards the bill of 12,000. And you might say that we've hardly started in this fundraising effort. So it's a wonderful piano. It will be here on the 21st, and we'll be able to hear it. If we don't like it, we won't buy it. It has been tested by six, I think, of our church musicians who have all voted that this is the run. This is just to alert the fact that the Music Fest is 4 weeks today, I think, on the 21st of September, and we have more people, more members of the church, wanting to play in that celebration than we have time to fit them in. So there is a short waiting list. And I think it's going to be a wonderful event. Thank you very much indeed. Over to you, Christine.
Thank you very much to Ken for that introduction. Can you all hear me all right? Right, okay, it's switched on correctly then. Come, let us worship God. Jesus the Lord says, I am the bread of life. Jesus the Lord says, I am the true and living way. Jesus the Lord says, I am the resurrection and the life. We will now sing "To God Be the Glory," hymn number 289-289. To God be the glory. Let us pray. Summon us, voice of God, with words of challenge and power, calling us to courageous discipleship and urgent witness. We confess to you, Lord, what we are. We are not the people we like others to think we are. We are afraid to admit even to ourselves what lies in the depths of our souls. But we do not want to hide our true selves from you. We believe that you know us as we are, and yet you still love us. Help us not to shrink from self-knowledge. Teach us to respect ourselves for your sake. Give us the courage to put our trust in your guiding power. Raise us out of the paralysis of guilt and fear, and take us into the freedom and energy of forgiven people. And for those who, through long habit, find forgiveness hard to accept, we ask that you would break their bondage and set them free. Amen. We'll now say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. So that's very nice that we've got some new children here today. That fits in very well with what I'm going to talk about. Hello, so I'm Christine. What's your name? Right. Hello. And you were showing us last time how to do a Korean bow, weren't you? So what we're going to do is we're going to go round and say hello to some of the members of the congregation. And ask them how... That's right, you hold each other's hands. Grandma wants a photo. Okay. And you were telling us about Korean culture, weren't you? And in some cultures, it's not polite to ask questions. But on the whole, English, it is. As long as you don't ask people things like how much they earn. Okay, so while the shoelace is being tied, so hello, I'm Christine, who are you? Right, hello Finlay, and you're the grandfather, two of the children? No? Right? No, got the wrong person. Hello John! Which one of these is your granddad? That one, right. Right. You call him Grandpa? Oh, okay, right. So John's going to tell us something about himself, just very briefly. Can I let go of your hands for a minute so I can... we arrange this in advance, so let's make sure we say the same thing. Right, so Nina and Nathan. Right, so I'll say that again in case you didn't hear. They both live in Wolverhampton and their parents are teachers. And John said about himself that he's married to Natasha, and then he was explaining about his grandchildren. Right. Now, we can't go and talk to everybody, and some people were very, very shy. So let's see who there was who was prepared to talk to us. Okay, so we're going over there to the back of the church. We'll go this way. Do you want... Okay, is that on? Right. Okay, so we've got one of these as well. Do you want to hold that? Hold it very carefully. So we're going down this way. So we're going to go and talk to that lady at the back. Now, down this way. So, hello.
Hello.
Hi, Nathan. It's Nathan, isn't it?
Yes.
My name is Jane.
Hello, Jane.
Hi, it's nice to meet you. Do you want to know something about myself?
Yes.
I've been to Africa. Have you been to Africa? And I've seen lots of giraffes and tigers and elephants, and they were bathing in the big river there.
My mummy lives in Tanzania. lives in Tanzania.
This was South Africa, the bottom. It's very near Tanzania.
Okay.
But they'd have the same animals.
So that was a very nice coincidence. We've discovered that we were talking to Jane Townsend, and we discovered that she has lived in South Africa and seen lots of lions and elephants. And Nathan's mum lives in Tanzania, so he's also seen them. Pardon? All right, okay. Right, so who else should we go and say hello to? Right.
Good morning.
So they've introduced themselves. Yep. Who are you?
Right, I'm Phil. And I have two children, but they're a bit bigger than you. One's 22, one's 20.
That's a bit bigger than you, isn't it?
And they're both at university. And this is my wife, Fran. We've been married for a long time. All the bit of rap. And I teach music in Hounslow. So I've been teaching music for nearly 30 years in schools now. I think I've done my penance. And we have been to Africa. We've been to Zambia on safari, which is really, really good. Okay.
Thank you. So, thank you very much for coming and talking to people and introducing yourselves. And now you'll know some of the people in church. And you can go and talk to some more of them at the end of the service and ask who they are. So what we were looking at here was the idea of who are you? And when we're talking to other people, we often have to explain things about ourselves. But God knows everything about us. And we'll be moving on in the service to think about our response to God, the answer to Jesus' question, who do you say that I am? And we'll now sing further to God's praise. One or two of the hymns didn't get onto the service sheet, so let's make sure this is right. Okay, what I'm going to do at this point in the service is Leslie gave me a letter which came from Jason Lee and asked me to read it out. And we'll be praying for Jason and his comrades later on in the service, but I thought you'd like to hear it at this point. Dear Leslie and friends, thank you for the morale, which I gather is some type of sweet. It's been quickly shared out. As we are closing down, because he's in a support group in Afghanistan, so are the simple luxuries. So your support is greatly appreciated. Bad news yesterday, 18 injured and one resting in peace. Weather is still average, 45 degrees and highs of 50 degrees. Food is okay. They've stopped serving ice cream. Morale is still high. The dust has covered everything else. As still, our priority is to maintain communications. We are slowly packing 150 containers of kit we don't necessarily need, i.e. table tennis, sofas, TVs, so presumably all the things that made life more comfortable for them. I've written a list of things I want to do as soon as I get back. Sleep all weekend, KVC, get an even tan. He's done a little photo, a picture of himself, showing that he's got a tanned face and tanned arms, but everything else is covered with uniform. Thai massage, foot massage, custom Christmas in Korea. Much love, Jason. Rumours, we will be back by October. So that's his news. So we'll now sing 370, Soldiers of Christ Arise. Listen to the message from the Bible, read by Pat Brooks and Jean Thompson. The first reading is Romans 12, verses 1 to 8, and the second is Matthew 16, verses 13 to 20.
Romans 12. So then, my brothers and sisters, because of God's great mercy to you, I pray to you, offer yourselves as a living sacrifice to God, dedicated to his service and pleasing to him. This is the true worship that you should offer. Do not conform yourselves to the standards of this world, but let God transform you inwardly by a complete change of your mind. Then you will be able to know the will of God, what is good and is pleasing to him and is perfect. And because of God's gracious gifts to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you should. Instead, be moderate in your thinking and judge yourself according to the amount of faith that God has given you. We have many parts in our body, and all these parts have different functions. In the same way, though we are many, we are one body in union with Christ, and we are all joined to each other in different parts of one body. So we are to use our different gifts according to with the grace that God has given us. If our gift is to speak God's message, we should do it according to the faith that we have. If it is to serve, we should serve. If it is to encourage others, we should do so. Whoever shares with others should do it generously. Whoever has authority should work hard. Whoever shows kindness to others should do it cheerfully. Love must be... that's the end. Amen.
Matthew 16. Peter's declaration about Jesus. Jesus went to the territory near the town of Caesarea Philippi, where he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" "Some say John the Baptist," they answered. "Others say Elijah," while others say Jeremiah or some other prophet. "What about you?" he asked them. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." "Good for you, Simon, son of John," answered Jesus, "for this truth did not come to you from any human being, but it was given to you directly by my Father in heaven. And so I tell you, Peter, you are a rock, and on this rock foundation I will build my church, and not even death will ever be able to overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. What you prohibit on earth will be prohibited in heaven, and what you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven." Then Jesus ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. Amen.
Well, I was interested that Pat automatically started going on to the next verse, because I think the interesting thing with Paul is we take certain selected passages and we think, oh, aren't they lovely? They're so coherent. And if you actually read Romans through, or any of his epistles, we studied 1 Corinthians once at my previous church, and our view was that Paul could have done with a good editor. We're blessed with computers and cut and paste. But the way ancient letters were done was they were dictated to a secretary. They were copied and recopied for wider distribution. So they don't necessarily flow naturally from one bit of it to another. You've got to jump around to a certain extent. And in the two chapters before our reading, Paul has been discussing faith, which is what Ken explored last week. So I'm not going to go back and try and do a disposition on those two chapters. And he was also attempting to give some kind of coherent shape to God's activity in choosing first Israel and then all who believe in Christ. But in spite of what I said about him jumping around, there is a logical progression. He's been discussing faith, and now he's moving on to the presentation of Christian ethics that we heard. Advice to the church. And the problem that Paul identified with the law is that people put their trust in that rather than in God. And they believe they can stand or fall by their own efforts. And that attitude's often associated with the idea of the old covenant, which, to oversimplify, obey the letter of God's law. If you do, you will be blessed with health, wealth, whatever you'd like. And if you don't, you will be cursed with poverty, captivity, etc.
And I think this is often the fallback position that all us humans take in relation to God. And Paul begs his readers, don't do it like that. Give yourselves up, give yourselves away. Know that God is the active principle in all life, and dispense with the illusion that you are at the heart of everything. The great 20th century Protestant theologian Karl Barth calls Christian ethics the great disturbance. In his commentary on Romans, Barth says that all human systems must inevitably be disturbed by the thought of God. God is not part of any of our systems, and no human system is capable of comprehending him. It is simply silly to think that we have the means of measuring and systematizing the creator of all that is. And Paul cuts straight through all the usual attempts to make moral systems that will allow us to continue our lives unchanged. Give yourselves to God, Paul says. And that self is not some abstract, theoretical inner being, but your real, physical self. Present your bodies is one of Paul's inescapable orders. Discipleship is like belonging to the army. You can't have long, involved discussions about whether there is a proper time for Christians to wake up. Instead, you get up when the order is given, and you march where you're told, and you pack up the TV, if that's what you've been told to do, even if you'd really like to leave that till the end. So it's not a theory, but a practice. The practice of discipleship. And one of the temptations of an ethical system is to keep it very abstract. It's dreadful. Something must be done. Another temptation is to love systems that to correct other people's failings and leave your own untouched. And again, Paul is not allowing this. Look squarely at your own strengths and weaknesses, he says, as we were saying with the children, who are you? And thank God that they are balanced out in the Christian community. Thank God that we are called together and can help each other out, rather than having to have all the virtues in one, our own individual person. And Peter and the other disciples have been subjected to the great disturbance Barth talks about ever since they first met Jesus. They're constantly having to revise their opinions of themselves, others, and God in the light of Jesus' unsettling presence. Now, in the reading we've heard, Jesus suddenly puts them to the test. He starts with the easy question, the question about other people's opinions. All the disciples are happy to chip in, expounding all the theories they've heard about Jesus. But then comes the crunch question, who do you say that I am? And it isn't really a fair question. After all, the disciples are demonstrating by their very presence, by all they've given up, what they believe about Jesus. Why is he choosing this time to press them to be more definite, to formulate it? And his response to Peter gives the answer. To know who Jesus is vital. It's not enough to believe that he is very important. It's not enough to believe that he is like the other prophets and messengers of God, which is actually what the Muslims believe about him. When Peter declares, "You are the Messiah," he is saying what has to be said. Jesus is the key to the whole of God's relationship with what he has made. On the basis of his confession, and on no other ethical basis at all, Peter is made the rock on whom the church is built. This, then, is to be our defining characteristic: our knowledge of Jesus Christ, and with that knowledge, we can open the gates of heaven and be unafraid of Hades. Does it seem an adequate foundation for the church? Shouldn't there be more rules and ethical norms laid down? How odd that Peter's sole qualification for the job, apart from being impetuous and speaking too soon, is that he can recognize the activity of God when he sees it. And that's what Paul is working for too. "Be transformed," he says, "so that you may discern what is the will of God." And I always say after a sermon, if you've been sitting here thinking, "Rubbish, don't agree with that," come and tell me afterwards. We'll now have a few minutes of silent prayer, and then we'll say our hymn. Now sing "Will You Come and Follow Me," one of the Iona community hymns, number 558, "Will You Come and Follow Me If I But Call Your Name." Let us pray. Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me. Lord, at the moment there is so much conflict. In areas where Christians and Muslims have lived together for over 1400 years, we pray for healing, peace, and restoration. Bring light out of this present darkness and hope from despair, that guided by your Holy Spirit, all your children may find a new way forward together, based on your love for us all. Hold in your loving arms all those who have been caught up in conflict. We pray for those forced to flee their homes, all who have lost friends, family, and possessions, and who now face an uncertain future. Almighty and merciful God, whose Son became a refugee and had no place to call his own, look with mercy on today's refugees. Bless those who work to bring them relief. Inspire generosity and compassion in all our hearts, and guide the nations of the world towards that day when all will rejoice in your kingdom of justice and of peace. We pray for all victims of intolerance and those oppressed by their fellow humans. Remember in your kingdom those who have died. Lead the oppressors towards compassion and give hope to the suffering. Almighty God, in you alone we find safety and peace. We commend to your gracious keeping all the men and women who served in the armed forces, who faced danger and put their lives at risk so that others might live in safety. Defend them day by your heavenly power, and help them to know that they can never pass beyond the reach of your care. Keep alive in them and in us your vision of that peace which alone we must seek and serve. We pray for Jason and his companions. We pray for those making difficult decisions that affect other people's lives, politicians, trade union leaders, business leaders. We pray for those made redundant in the recent shipyard closure. Be with those young people who have received exam results and are moving on to the next stage of their lives. We pray for those in our midst who are suffering from homelessness, bereavement, illness, and the work of supporting friends. We pray for ourselves. Dear God, you know us. To you, we are not just another face on CCTV or just another login name. You know our concerns, our deepest hopes and fears. Give us strength. Guide us to focus on what's really important, and help us to make the most of every moment of each new day. Thank you, God, for your presence. We bring these prayers through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We'll now continue our worship by taking our offering for the work of God. Thank you. Father. Every good gift comes from you. You give generously without refusing or reproaching anyone. May our gifts assist the preaching of the gospel, so that people may be remade in your likeness. Amen. We'll now sing hymn 530, Living God, Your Joyful Spirit, 530.
Of time.
May the blessing and the love of Jesus draw you to himself. May the power of Jesus strengthen you in his service. May the joy of Jesus fill your spirit. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you forever. Amen.